Listen to the Word of God. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Why did God call His people sheep? Why did He choose something impressive? Like a horse. We're members of God's stable. Maybe He could have called us His deer. We're part of His herd. The Bible does picture the believer as being like a thirsty deer panting after God. Psalm 42. But then donkeys and jackasses and swines and rabbits all travel in herds, so maybe that's not a good choice. A strong name might have been tigers. They move in an ambush. God's people setting an ambush against the devil, ready to leap out to do good works. But hardly what most folks think about when they hear the word ambush. Maybe He could have called us sharks, projecting vigilance, thoroughness, and constancy. Also, vicious and mindless. So, sheep may not have been such a bad choice after all. Stubborn, not very wise, helpless. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The Lord is my shepherd. That first phrase gives us a mental picture of the Lord Himself. My shepherd. And that little word, my, is of great significance. The text does not say the Lord is a shepherd or the Lord is Israel's shepherd or even the Lord is the only one true shepherd. All of which are theologically correct. It says the Lord is my shepherd. And so much of Christian faith has to do with personal pronouns. You remember Doubting Thomas, who said, I won't believe unless I touch the wounds. And after he thrust his hand into the side and touched the nail prints, he cried out, my Lord and my God. And here in this first line of Psalm 23, David is speaking of an intimate one-on-one relationship with God. God calls David my sheep, and David confidently, and maybe even a little bit proudly, says, the Lord is my shepherd. In the days when David was a herder of sheep, all the sheep in the community would have been kept in a common pen, and every morning the shepherd would have gone and stood at the gate and would have called out his sheep. They recognized his voice. A stranger's voice they did not pay attention to. And they followed him out where he was going that day because they knew him. And the shepherd always knows where he's going. He's not a wanderer looking for an oasis. He knows the territory. He knows the ground. He knows the sheep. He knows their needs. He's not a wanderer. He's not a tour guide who stops along the way. He simply knows where he's going and goes in that direction. And all Jesus said to his disciples when he called them was, follow me. In some cases, there was a promise, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, but always, follow me. And that was enough. Therefore, David writes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But most people seem to be in one endless cycle of want to the next. It's not that I shall not want because my selfish and never satisfied flesh continually wants and wants and wants. Eugene Peterson translates this phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need a thing. I translate it this way, the Lord is enough. The Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is enough. But a great gut check question I will always ask myself is the Lord enough for me? You've heard the story told about John D. Rockefeller, the billionaire oil man who was once asked, how much money's enough? And Rockefeller is supposed to have replied, one more dollar, which means he's never going to be satisfied. Enough is a word that's not going to be in his vocabulary and would elude him all of his days. And for us, is the Lord enough? Should I have to declare bankruptcy? Is the Lord enough? Should my closest friend or my spouse be suddenly called home? Is the Lord enough? If we are never successful according to the world's standards. And for all of those claims, David looks us squarely in the eye and exclaims, yes, my Lord is enough. But we might look back at David and say, come on, David, is he really enough to calm my constant restlessness? Is he really enough when I feel broken? Is he enough in my constant straying? Is he enough in the dark valleys or when my enemies surround me? Is he enough in my unknown future? Is he and he alone enough? David goes on to tell us why he's enough. The first stage of our journey, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures, which means the shepherd is having to exert pressure to get the sheep to do what's good for the sheep. Lie down in green pasture. And it seems like all too often the sheep, and like it or not, we are, craning our necks forward. Not wanting to rest, not wanting to settle in the green pasture, but to see what the future holds and to know where it's finally going and what's around the next corner, over the next hill. We pursue one more goal, make one more appointment, and on and on and on. And so often our shepherd turns and makes us lie down in green pastures, which is entirely for our good. But I have such a hard time settling down. I crave rest and flee from it all the time. What a contradictory sheep I am. Thank God he makes me lie down in pastures of green grass and leads me to still waters of rest. And only he can rest us, which is exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, who are carrying burdens so heavy, come unto me, all you whose shoulders are drooping, whose hearts are uncertain, whose mind is troubled because of what's going on around you. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In my restlessness, he's enough. But is he enough in my brokenness? Because we're such broken people. But in the face of our brokenness, David simply says, he restoreth my soul. And the term restore is a Hebrew verb which means to return. When I'm hurt, flat on my back, because of my brokenness, and whether that brokenness is my fault or somebody else's fault, he comes to carry me back home with him and restores, returns my soul to rest. But how does he handle my constant wandering away from him and getting lost? David tells us he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. By his gentle shepherd's crook, and sometimes not so gentle, he guides us to find hidden, narrow paths of righteousness that we can never find on our own. Left to ourselves, all we can do is wander and get lost. I remember one time I got lost in Atlantic City. I was 12 years old. I was out on the boardwalk. Didn't mean to get lost. I was there with my Aunt Veronica, my brother Kyle, cousins Gary, Mike, and Shirley. We were having a great day. Aunt Veronica had taken us. And I walked by a booth where somebody was shooting pellet rifle or something and knocking over the targets and getting these big stuffed animals as a prize. And I stopped to watch. And watched. And I looked around and I'm the only sizzler that's standing in that spot. Everybody else is gone. I didn't mean to get lost. But I got lost. And Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray, whether we meant to or not, each of us to his own way. And Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. There's no person alive who can find the small gate and the narrow path that leads to life unless the shepherd guides us along the way. As I close this morning, let me read to you a story from a book by Max Lucado called Tell Me the Story. And it's a chapter called Sarah and the Mouse. Sarah's Max's daughter. 2-year-old Sarah sits in my lap. We're watching a comedy on television about a guy who has a mouse in his room. He's asleep, and he opens one eye and finds himself peering in the face of the rodent. The camera gets eye level with the mouse, and suddenly the screen is filled with two eyes, whiskers, and a twitching nose. I laugh, but Sarah panics. She turns away from the screen and buries her face in my shoulder. She thinks the mouse is going to get her. It's okay, Sarah, I assure her, but she won't let go. It's only a picture. She peers up at me with one eye and then burrows her nose back in my shirt. Mouse, get me! She whispers. There's nothing to be afraid of, I say. It's only a pretend mouse. There really is nothing to fear. I know big mice on picture screens go away. Sarah doesn't. As far as she knows, the rodent on the screen is about to jump out of that box and gobble her up. As far as she knows, television sets are nothing but boxes that hold giant mice ready to get little girls. There is reason to be afraid. So she's afraid. But with time, I convince her. Sarah has gone from white-faced fear to peaceful chuckles in a few moments. Why? Why? Because her father spoke and she believed. Would that we do the same. Got any giant mice on your screen? Got any fears that won't go away? Got any whiskered monsters staring at you? I wish fears were just television images. They aren't. They lurk in hospital rooms and funeral parlors. They stare at us from divorce papers and eviction notices. They glare through the eyes of cruel parents or an abusive mate. And we, like Sarah, get frightened. But we, unlike Sarah, don't know where to turn. Why did Sarah turn to her dad for comfort? Simple. She knows me. And because she knows me, she trusts me. So when I tell her not to worry, she doesn't worry. Instinctively, we should know that God knows more than we do. Common sense would tell us that He isn't afraid of all the mice that roar in our world. He's been there before. He knows how these shows end. He knows that the worst fear the foe can throw is only a mirage. And He wants us to listen to His voice and trust Him as Sarah trusted me. There are times when mice roar. There are times when we need a strong pair of arms. You need to know that the arms of God are there. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen.